If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to another episode of That's What People Do. You are joined by me, Ryan McGowan, and as always, James K. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well, Ryan. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. It is New Year's Eve for everyone.
Is it?
It is. I always enjoy doing these because they're always out of sync and I never get used to it. No, it is New Year's Eve. So for everyone else, I hope you've had a fantastic Christmas, whatever it is you did, whether you hung out with family, hung out alone, hung out with pals, got drunk, got high, whatever you did, I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you got absolutely sport rotten. James, what did you get everyone for Christmas? No, you can't tell everyone yet. Oh, wait, we can.
They will have opened it by now.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to tell me.
I'm like, it's all very mundane. It's just a lot of alcohol.
There's a lot of alcohol in my
presence. Brother asked for Japanese whiskey, expecting me to get like cheap one, but I bought him like the highest percentage Japanese whiskey I could possibly find, just to try and ruin his life a little bit. And the bottle's really nice.
Wow, because your brother's a Japanophile, isn't he? He's been a couple times.
He is, yeah.
I am desperate to go to Japan one day. So, yeah. Anyway, just thought I'd tell everyone, join the Patreon. So we can go to Japan. I hope you've had a fantastic Christmas. We've got New Year still to go, so I hope whatever you're doing tonight, you enjoy that too. I hope you're going to have an absolutely fantastic time, because I know that we will. What are you doing for New Year? Are you doing anything?
I really desperately want to, and there are some sort of loose plans, but there's nothing concrete yet, so I'm really trying to nail something down. What are you doing?
Well, me and Jenna have been trying for the longest period of time to find a hotel or an Airbnb in London where we can sort of, you know, because Jenna's never done London on New Year's with all the fireworks and whatnot. I have. It is a nice atmosphere, I must say. It is a really good, fun atmosphere. Yes, it's packed and it's busy, but everyone's out having a good time. We're all celebrating. Everyone's in a really good mood. And it's a nice feeling. But we, for whatever reason, just cannot find anything. Everything's booked up. We're like, you know, there's no room at the inn. Mm. There's nothing going on.
It's so expensive as well.
Yeah, it's going to be expensive. But hopefully we've figured out what we're going to do. So I don't actually know at the point of recording.
To be fair, when me and my friends were talking about it, the one thing I specifically said was I don't want to be standing out in the cold in London. Like, that was my one condition. Like, just put me inside somewhere where there's warmth and a bar or something like that, I'm fine. But I don't like the thought of going to the London Eye, like, just repulses me.
Oh, that's fair. But when you're wrapped up and it's warm and, you know, it's all right. It's all right. Anyway.
Yeah, but then like you start the year trying to get home on a busy train. That's not how I want to start the year.
Well, that's why we were looking for a hotel, but struggling.
That makes sense.
Anyway. It is become a bit of a tradition now, and I absolutely fucking love this. I was just saying to James before we started, these are my favourite episodes. I really like doing these. We have our New Year quiz. We've got a few things coming up in this episode. We've got a big quiz. We've got some questions from you guys. We've got some facts about the show. And then we're going to thank those who support us over on Patreon as well at the end. So, yeah, there's quite a lot to unpack here. So, James, you've prepared some questions. I have prepared some questions. Everyone else, you get to play along. So what I'll do is I'm going to have some music to be playing underneath whilst we ask the questions. Almost, you know, like,
ooh, like a proper quiz.
Yeah, like a proper little quiz, little game show. Think of it a pub quiz. So you can have a little drink whilst you're playing the game. I've got a can of Pepsi because it's not New Year yet. But we can have a drink whilst we play.
Water somewhere.
So water is. You air up. Right, so.
I love an air up.
Let's. Who wants to start? Do you want to start or should I start, James? Should we do your questions first?
I just feel like if we go 1-1-1-1-1-1, so we can kind of like, and I'll keep score on my phone. So like, you ask, I ask, you ask, I ask, and I'll keep score. And if you're playing along at home, you're going to have 30 questions to answer. Me and Ryan only have 15 each because we obviously can't answer our own questions, because I hope you've got the answers next to your questions.
I don't have otherwise 15 we'll be... questions.
How many questions have you got?
I've got 9.
Not... Well, you didn't even do 10. Who the fuck does a 9-question quiz?
To be fair,
I sent you a message saying do 15. 9 questions. Yeah. That's so weird. How did you get to 9 and think, oh, that's good? That's a good amount of questions.
I think I got to 9 and I was like, I am struggling to think of more questions that I don't know the answers to myself. And I was like, I can't be bothered to do the homework. So for once, I've not done my homework. I've not...
9 questions. 10, I'd understand. I'm like, oh, he didn't get the message. But 9 is a weird number.
Yeah. So
okay, we'll do your 9 questions.
You pick your favourites, and you can cut some out of yours. Right, how do you want to do this? Do you want to go you first? Are we going to do one on one?
You can go first because you've let the side down.
All right. Okay. All right. So everyone, are you ready to start the quiz? If you have been listening, if you need to catch up. There may be some spoilers for some answers, but I hope you are all caught up and I hope you're listening because you will need to know a lot of these. I've just realised I've written some questions that the listeners are just never going to get because they don't know, because it's not like related to the episode. Some of these are related to like the history of TWPD, but they are in a way.
Are they actually? Okay.
Yeah. And some of them are like, well, say it was someone. There's like an answer that is relevant if you like, you know, the backstory to the show and we could talk about it a little bit more. So,
right, okay. So all of mine are specific about episodes.
All right, cool. Let's get mine out of the way then. Let's get my 9 done. Question number 1. What nicknames did Napoleon give to Josephine's foof? You get a point for each one.
I just remember being fucking horrified. Black Forest, was that one?
Ding, ding, ding. Black Forest is one of them. Can you remember the
That's
other
one? That's the one that really grossed me out. The other one was kind of... Has it got the word little in it?
Nope. You have the first one has little in it.
Oh, was it Little Black Forest? Right, that's why I'm getting confused. Oh, oh, it's like a rank, isn't it? It's a... oh, this is really going to piss me off. It's a really weird little pet name.
Yeah.
It's not Admiral, I don't think. What was it? You know what? Time's up. Time's up. You tell us the answer.
All right. Baron de Kepin.
Baron. I wouldn't have got de Kepin, but Baron. Okay. Is that... What Baron do I get? A half point for getting half of that?
No, you get 1 point for getting one question right. One answer, sorry.
Okay. Well, that's very kind of you, because some of my answers are like, you need to list some things, and if you don't get them all, you're not getting a point.
Right, yes. Yeah, so, nicknames Napoleon gave to Josephine's foof, Little Black Forest and Baron de Kepin. Question number 2. This is more for just you. What was the name of the production company we first started under as TWPD?
Say What Media.
Ding, ding.
Spelled W-O-T.
Say What Media. Well done, you get 1 point. Should
Thank
we
you.
when we talk about, because I was like, oh, should I talk about Say What Media? And I was, I had a little look. They don't fucking exist anymore. ZZ's like not.
No,
fucking...
I stalked him on LinkedIn a while ago. He's,
yeah,
he's not doing much.
So for context, I don't know if anyone does know, but like I got in contact with a guy who was like, oh, you can do a podcast and you get paid like $30,000. And I was like, what? What, like per year? Like that would be your salary. And then he was like, oh, and then when I actually met him, he was like, fair enough, that's naive of me. But if I wasn't so naive, we wouldn't have the show today. But he was like, oh, yeah, no, $30,000 is not your salary. It's a potential earnings, blah, blah, blah. If, you know, when we blow up. And I'm like, okay, all right. I kind of would still like to do a podcast, though. So I'm in. And then, yeah, the guy whipped out a contract after we'd done 4 episodes and wanted like 80% of everything we make in future. And I was like, get fucked.
Yeah, he wanted the IP as well. I remember lying in bed, like, you rang me about it and was like, because I think we briefly mentioned to each other at some point, because by this time, I think we'd already started doing, like, the Offside Rule as well, which is, like, a football podcast that we tried to do, which Ryan sent me a picture of earlier. It was actually quite funny. and then we met up. We met with Z and all of that lot in his little office, and then we went away and we sat in a Wetherspoons by Charing Cross, I think. I can't remember.
Mm.
And discussed what we wanted to do. So...
yeah.
That was the birth of it all in 2019.
Yeah, 2019. Dude was a con man. But yeah, here we are. 4 years
on. He was a massive
on.
Con man. He also had 2 sound guys who came with like their own equipment and everything and like edited for us, recorded everything for us. And he promised that he'd pay them and he just didn't.
Yeah. I was listening back. So when I was putting all of our episodes, going through and like uploading everything onto our Patreon, which if you don't know, all the episodes are ad-free on Patreon. you can hear our sound guys in like the first couple of episodes because, you know, we wanted to be able to talk to them and ask some questions and Google things for us as we went. So that's quite a fun little thing.
I also remember distinctly in one of the first episodes, there was a massive pause. And I was like, oh, they'll edit that out. And I listened back and they didn't. So
yeah, they were useless. Anyway, right, let's go to question number 3. According to your article on our website, what did the Celts call Halloween?
Oh no. I do this. I write things, I read things, I say things, I relay information to other people, and then I just don't fucking take it in. This was only like...
a couple of months ago.
A month and a bit ago?
Yeah.
Halloween... Samhain.
Samhain is correct. Well done, you got
that. Oh, boom.
1 point, Samhain. Yes, the Celts called Halloween Samhain. If you haven't already, do check out some of the articles on our website because James takes a lot of time sitting there writing them and they're genuinely really good. I hop in there every now and then, but I'm not a writer. So, yeah. Now, according to our latest documentary on Patreon, canonically, how many victims of Jack the Stripper are there? Now, if you haven't seen it, please do head over to the Patreon to check out that video. And you'll know why James is struggling with this one, because it's actually my line in the documentary.
But I remember exactly where we were when we were recording it. We were standing in the fucking alleyway with that coffee shop where people kept queuing and you were walking towards me.
Yeah.
I know exactly where we recorded it. I could tell you everything that happened in as we were saying it. 5.
It is 6.
Fuck, it was one or the other.
Yes, canonically there are 6, but there are arguably 2 more.
Yes, there are. Go and listen to the documentary. That documentary was hell on earth to fucking record, so please go and watch it.
Yeah. Now, without checking our socials, what does Mother Teresa have on her t-shirt in our artwork for the episode?
It's something to do with Jesus. Is it just I love Jesus?
Nope.
No. It's something to do with Jesus. Jesus' little girl, Jesus' baby girl, or something. I don't know.
Jesus' little girl is better than what we have. No, it is property of Jesus.
Oh, okay. I knew Jesus was involved somewhere.
Jesus' little girl is brilliant, though. All right, next question. How many people does Pedro Rodriguez Filho claim to have killed in his lifetime?
Oh, no. A lot.
A lot.
It's a lot. I'm going to go 120.
Do you know what? I will give you a point for this because there is no definitive number. It's just 100 plus.
Okay.
He goes 100
okay,
plus.
I'll take it. It might be 120. We don't know.
It could be. Could be. So, next question. What was the name of Charlie Lawson's wife who he murdered on Christmas Day 1929?
Her name was Fanny Mannering.
Correct. Fanny Mannering.
That's a name that is never going to leave me ever because so sad what happened to her. But what a name.
I know. And you know what? We found that so funny at the time. And it's just rude.
It's just such a disturbing episode. And we're just laughing at this woman's name who got brutally murdered.
I know. And not only her, like he murders his children, everything. And then he kills himself. And we were like, Fanny Mannering.
But with respect, she is called Fanny Mannering. So.
Yeah. All right. I have two more questions. So number 8. I like this one. Dr. Harvey Kellogg was a big fan of enemas in his time. But what was it that he shot inside your butt?
Yogurt.
Correct. It's yogurt. Do you know what? I should be leaving gaps for these. I'm going to leave gaps. Yes, correct. Yogurt. He used yogurt-filled enemas. Which we fans, he was such a strange dude.
That was a weird episode, man. That was weird. You sit there eating your fucking Cocoa Pops, thinking about, is Cocoa Pops Kellogg's?
I feel like it is.
I think it is, isn't it? I know. Either way, cornflakes, crunchy nut, I don't know.
Your cornflakes, yeah. All because as well, and he wanted like cereal that...
He wanted it to be bland, so you didn't get sexually aroused.
Yeah, that's right.
But I just had a curry. I had a really nice curry about half an hour ago, and I was eating it thinking, this is really tasty. At no point did I want to fuck it.
Not like American pie.
No. Well, don't put your dick in a pie.
Yeah. Now, my last question.
Your ninth question in a 9-question quiz. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well. In our episode on Armin Mivis, he almost gets out of a murder charge based on a curious loophole in German law. Can you tell me the name of the morbid game show we came up with based on this?
Totschlag or Mord?
Totschlag or Mord, correct.
Yeah, we love Totschlag or Mord. We need to get merch with that. You can never go to Germany wearing it because they'd be like, what the fuck are you wearing?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Totschlag or Mord a lot. I really enjoyed... Just when I wrote that, I just had like, in my head, you know, like a Mitchell and Webb sort of sketch. That's how I had it in my head. But yes, correct. Yeah. The answer is... Totschlag or Mord. How many did you get? I have not been keeping count.
5.
5 out of 9. That's over half. Well done. Or is it?
It was over half a 9-question quiz. Would be half if it was a 10-question quiz.
All right. So
I'm I'm going to do all 15 of mine because I wrote them. I did what we said we were going to do. So it's happening.
You put the work in. All right. Let's everyone go to round 2, where you'll have 50 more questions, and next up will be me answering them.
Okay, are you ready for your first question?
I am ready.
Throwing it back to one of our first ever episodes on the first day that we recorded, in which decade did J.R.R. Tolkien publish The Hobbit?
Ooh, that's good. I'm going with the 1920s.
1930s.
Damn. Do you know what it was?
The correct 1937.
1937. That's quite late in the 30s as well. I thought it was like, I knew it was like early 1900s, but well, it's not early 1900s. It's almost mid, but you know what I mean?
Difficult one to start, I think. Yeah. That's why I went decade, not specific year, because that would be really harsh. Question 2. What religion did the Cabri family follow?
Oh, damn. They're going to be like, because they built homes as well, didn't they? They built like an entire village.
Yeah,
they
built a whole lot of community.
They're like about, you know, people coming together. It's not going to be one of the big ones, is it?
It's like a branch of one of the big ones.
I've got a can't even think of the word.
They were Quakers.
Ah, Quakers. I was going to say Seventh-day Adventist, but that's what Harvey Kellogg was. No,
Quakers. That's why Bourneville, where the Cadbury factory is, and you can go visit it. It's a whole. It's very commercialised now. It's pretty shit. Owned by Merlin, so it says a lot. The town has no bars, pubs, or anything. Doesn't serve alcohol because Quakers don't serve alcohol. Right. And obviously, they built the entire town.
There we go. Makes sense.
Okay. This one's a little bit easier, I think. I've got a mixed bag. Some are hard, some are not. If you don't get it now, I'm sorry. Question three. What was Blackbeard's real name?
Oh, easy. I know that one. I know that one. Edward Teach.
Edward Teach. And if you are listening, I'll also accept Edward Thatch, because that is how some of it is written.
Mm-hmm. R-M-R-D.
Nice. That's a point for Ryan.
Finally.
Question number four. From which German city's coat of arms did Enzo Ferrari get his inspiration for the famous Ferrari logo?
Because he got it because there was a friend of his, wasn't it? It was a friend of his who was a pilot.
He was a German fighter pilot, yeah.
Yeah, and the family allowed him to use the family crest, which was the white horse.
Yeah, so it's the yellow horse. You've got the...
Is it Stuttgart?
It is Stuttgart.
Yeah.
Because I went to Stuttgart and I sent you a picture of it on the wall from where I was standing.
Yes.
So it is Stuttgart.
Yes, that's all right. Yeah. You remember seeing a picture. There you go.
Question number five. How many people is Harold Shipman said to have killed?
Oh, dear.
The world's most boring serial killer.
Yeah. I'm going to... Was it like 200 something? Can I get like a...
I'll round it up to like the nearest 10th, whatever.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to say 220.
250.
250. Yeah, because they're just old biddies that he's just giving them extra drugs
to. But again, it's one of them that an exact number can't be determined because who knows?
Yeah. The angel deaths, man. They're hard.
Yeah, he was the most prolific serial killer of all time and... The story is just so underwhelming.
Mm.
Go and listen to the episode. Question six. Name all of Henry VIII's wives in order.
All right. Okay. Divorced, beheaded, died. That doesn't count, does it?
That one's not going to help you. Name the names.
All right. So the first one is Catherine of Aragon, the Spaniard. Which he has married, didn't he? It doesn't matter. Second is Anne Boleyn.
It is.
Third is Catherine Parr.
I'll give you another go. Keep going, but it's not Catherine Parr.
I mean, is it Anne of Cleves?
No.
Hmm.
Can you just name them? Just name all of them.
Okay, all right. So
you've got two more to name.
Anne Boleyn, Anne of Cleves. Who did I say? Catherine Parr.
You've said Catherine Parr.
Wasn't there like a Lady Jane, Sarah Jane or whatever?
Sarah Jane is a character from Doctor Who, but there is someone called Jane, but what's her surname?
Oh, Christ. Jane Seymour.
Yep. One more.
Seymour Butts. And there's another Catherine, isn't there?
No.
Damn. What's the beginning?
Have you done all the Catherines, actually? You've done Catherine of Aragon.
And Catherine Parr.
No, there is one more. Wait. I'm so sorry. Go through them again. Have I got confused? Which ones haven't you got?
Catherine of Aragon. Catherine Parr.
Yeah.
Jane Seymour.
Yeah. Anne Boleyn, you've done as well.
Anne Boleyn. Anne of Cleves.
Yep. Oh, okay, so there is one more.
And it's a Catherine.
It is a Catherine.
Give me
his
the
penultimate
first
wife.
Letter.
H.
No, I ain't got it.
Catherine Howard.
Howard, damn.
Yeah, so in order, it's Catherine of Aragon, Anne Boleyn, Jane Seymour, Anne of Cleves, Catherine Howard, Catherine Parr.
All right.
Okay, question seven. What was the battle that Bonnie Prince Charlie and the Jacobite Rebellion was ended once and for all by the British, or English, shall I say, sorry?
Is it like Battle of Culloden?
It is exactly the Battle of Culloden. That's literally what it is.
Honestly, if you lot could see my face I pulled when he went, what was the battle? Oh, no. I had no way I was getting that.
That's another one that I've been to the battlefield. I think I've probably sent you pictures from it as well.
We have. We've got a picture of that, the big stone mound that's at the battlefield on the socials. So go check that out.
I'm fairly sure we've got an article on it. I don't know. Anyway. Which football team did Bert Trautmann play for the majority of his career until retirement?
Man City.
It is Man City. That was a nice easy one.
That was a nice easy one, yeah.
This one might be a bit harder. In what year did Adolf Hitler become Chancellor of Germany?
Ooh, good one. Is it 1936?
It's not.
It's earlier, isn't it?
1933.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a lot earlier than most people think.
It's a lot. 1936 is the Munich Olympic Games, isn't it? Yeah. No, Munich, sorry, what am I on about? Berlin Olympic Games. I'm listening to another documentary at the moment, and it talks about the Munich Olympic Games in like the 70s, where there's the awful terrorist incidents. That's why it's on my mind. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Question 10. Desmond Doss was famous for how he saved many lives in World War II, despite refusing to wield a gun. What movie was produced in 2016 about his life?
Ooh, you know what? It's a good movie as well.
It is a really good movie.
Hacksaw Ridge.
It is Hacksaw Ridge, starring Andrew Garfield and directed by Mel Gibson. So at the end, there's some weird religious stuff going on.
Yeah.
Because that's what Mel Gibson does. Mm. Okay, another easy one coming up. Joseph Mengele had a pretty sinister nickname for his work in the concentration camps. What was the nickname?
He is the Angel of Death.
He is the Angel of Death.
That guy's fucking... Ugh. You went for a phase of doing a lot of Nazis.
We did. We had a big Nazi period. But that was a two-part of Joseph Mengele. I'd highly recommend going and listen to those. Those are interesting episodes. Question 12. Who discovered Tutankhamun's tomb?
Ooh. I wonder if we'll ever do an episode on the guy. Howard something?
Yeah. Howard something.
Oh, wow. I can't think of it. Howard Webb?
That Howard Webb's a referee, so no. head of PGMOL was on with fucking Michael Owen.
Yeah. What's the first letter of his surname?
C.
No, that's not helped me at all. No.
Howard Carter.
Carter, right. Yeah.
Yeah, he is heavily involved in the Tutankhamun episode. The episode's mostly about Carter, I think. I can't remember. That was when we were recording in person, would you believe it or not?
Yeah, that's why I can't remember it.
Okay, now this one is a very easy one, but maybe this one's more for the listeners. I expect you to get this straight away.
Uh-huh.
Diogenes, an all-round legend, once allegedly told a famous leader to get out of his way because he was blocking the sun. Who was that leader?
Hey, yes. I've got Diogenes later. I'll talk about Alexander the Great.
It is Alexander the Great, who deserves an episode of his own. So
oh,
I imagine
yeah, for
that
sure.
will come one day.
Yeah, dude has got a crazy life. Good old Diogenes.
Question 14. For our first birthday, we did an episode on Sugar Man, a musician from the US who had no idea that he was a big success in South Africa. What is Sugar Man's real name?
Ooh, that is a really good question.
Yeah. So what's the man's name that we did an episode on?
Begins with R, doesn't it?
His surname does.
Is that Rodriguez? Something Rodriguez.
It's something Rodriguez, yeah.
Give me a letter.
Oh, I've just seen... This is quite sad. I just Googled him, sorry, and he passed away in August 2023.
Oh, wow. There you are. I heard it here first.
That's sad. Not long ago. His S.
Mm. Oh, wait. It's like 6 something.
Oh, yeah. Keep going.
I don't know how to say anymore.
Like, what sound would come after six that makes it like sort of sound like a name?
Sixes?
No.
Oh my god, no. Yeah, because it's like a native name of sorts, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know. Okay.
No. Sixu?
Sixto Rodriguez.
Yeah. What a dude.
Yeah. Died in August. That's really sad. That went under the radar.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay, final question of my quiz. Although Julius Caesar was never an emperor of Rome, he did award himself a very prestigious title. What was the title?
Are we referring to dictator for life?
That was what I had on my answer card,
excellent,
yes.
Excellent, excellent. Love that. I brought this up. I had my work Christmas dinner lunch thing the other day, and we were doing a quiz there, and I brought up that my favourite pub quiz question that's always wrong, even though they give it as a right answer, is who is the first Roman emperor? And everyone at my table bar one person went, I don't know. I went, right, that's completely thrown out my argument that everyone always says Caesar, because none of you fucking got an answer. But then I went, Augustus, because Caesar isn't our turn on the fact. And someone went, oh, I don't know if that's true. I went, no, it is. I'm telling you it is.
It is absolutely true. Augustus was Caesar's nephew.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, I'm not sure that's right. I was like, right.
He was literally a dictator that he titled himself.
Yeah. How did I do?
You got 8 out of 15.
Hey, that's not bad.
Just over half.
Excellent.
And I got just over half on a 9-question quiz, so we're both mediocre at this.
Do you know what?
Just above average.
I thought I would do a lot worse than that, because we've done questions before and I've done terribly. And we joked earlier before we recorded that, like, there's obviously you spend a lot of time writing these episodes and you have to become a mini expert in a lot of the things that we're about to talk about when we do the episodes. But once I've done the episode, I've recorded it, edited it, done, it's out the way, I'm thinking of the next one now. So I haven't got enough I haven't got enough room to sort of like keep all this information in. I am not the internet.
I love it when people come up to me like at work or just out and about. I say out and about like we're famous. Just like when people come up to me about the podcast and ask me, oh, I love this episode. What do you think about blah, blah, blah? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm so sorry. Because they've clearly just listened to it and have the information like right there, ready to go. And for us, I was like, that was 2 years ago. I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, spot on. Right. How did you do, listeners? How did you get on? Did you do better than us? Naturally, because you had all the questions. So how did you get on? Let us know how you got on with the quiz. You guys...
24-question quiz.
Yeah, 24-question quiz. we asked you guys to send us in some questions. We've never done this before properly.
No, I liked it. It was good.
Yeah, it was very last minute as well. So thank you very much to everyone who did send in your questions. I've not named everyone, just to save time. Thank you very much for your questions. So let's go through some of these. And some of these are quite, you know, there's some thought going into some of these questions. So we had to little go away and have a think about some of them. But let's start off with the first one we've got here, which is, what's your favourite Christmas memories?
Bloody hell. What's my favourite Christmas memories? You know what? My favourite Christmas memory is like, it's so mundane, but for me, it just makes me feel really happy. It's after Christmas lunch at my grandparents, because we always go to my grandparents. My nan cooks a banging roast Christmas dinner, and then we sit down afterwards. And it's the only time of year I see my cousins and like my aunt from London. And we don't do it anymore, but I used to every year get a Guinness Book of World Records. And we'd sit there and all of us would just go through the Guinness Book of World Records and just be amazed at what people had done in the previous year. And that for me is just like, it's just so nice. I just really like that memory.
That is really nice. I like that a lot. I used to get the Guinness Book of Records every year as well. Mine is, I don't know how old I am, but I'm quite young. I've probably been maybe 5, 6. And I'm sat at the table in the kitchen, and just to the right is an alcove. And so it goes from the kitchen to the living room. And I can see through the alcove on the TV is the music channel's playing. And on the music channel is Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day, played by Wizard. And that's playing on like full blast, going off. Yeah. And I'm just sat there at the table whilst my mum's in the kitchen getting the dinner ready. When I'm looking over and I can hear the song, I can see it on the telly. And that's a very, very vivid memory for me as a kid. And every time I hear that song, it takes me straight back to that moment. So that's my favourite Christmas
It's amazing
memory.
What little moments you remember.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, love that. Thank you for that question. What's one place you'd love to go to film a podcast documentary if budget was no option?
One place?
Yeah.
We could talk about this for hours.
There's
and
lots
hours
of places,
to reel
yeah.
things off. If money was just no object, it would have to be abroad, because I feel like everything in the UK is quite accessible.
Yeah. Well, I've got mine ready to go.
Okay, you go.
I've got a couple. Obviously, Japan is on the list, just because there's so many cool, interesting things there, but I just want to go there for a holiday anyway. But it ties in with a question we had later on. I've got Berlin to go and look at some World War II sort of stories and documentary bits. And
no, that'd be really cool.
You've still got like the Führer Bunker, which is just now a car park. I'd love to go there. You've got the Jewish Monument there. There's so much history. The museums are fantastic.
Yeah, Berlin Wall.
Berlin Wall. I love Berlin. It's a fantastic city, and I think we'd have so much. There's so much stuff to do there.
Yeah. No, I like that answer. I think for me, I'm instantly drawn towards Italy because there's so much to do in Italy. But then having just been there and I've got this limited amount of money, maybe I want to go somewhere else. If money was no object, Machu Picchu.
Ooh, very good.
That would be fucking... Because not only would the documentary just be really cool, I would just really want to go. So if this podcast is going to pay for me to go, then nice.
Well, there you are, everyone. If you'd like us to go to Machu Picchu or Berlin, which I think one of them is
I feel like Berlin might be a bit more accessible. Because Birmingham Airport, right by me, is set up like EasyJet. I've now got a hub in Berlin and Birmingham. So maybe...
Maybe. Let's go to Berlin. Right, next one. What serial killer, dead or alive, would you like to interview and why?
Do you have yours?
So I've gone with Pedro Rodriguez Filho, who we did an episode on fairly recently and was an answer earlier. Only because this guy, once he came out of prison, turned YouTuber, right? And he was... game for jumping on podcasts, and he's been on quite a few. I would love to have had the opportunity to sit and just like ask him straight up, like, why did you kill your dad? Like, how did you feel when you did it? And I feel like he'd be well up for talking about it, because it's all good saying, oh, I'll have, I don't know, Ted Bundy. Yeah, but does Ted Bundy want to talk to you? Do you know what I mean? Like, and Ted Bundy probably would, to be fair. He talked a lot, but there might be some that are like, nah, don't really want to talk to you. Like, okay.
Okay, so in this scenario, is there like a genie and I tell the genie who I want and he just like magics the person in front of me?
Yes.
Jack the Ripper.
Oh, that's good.
Because then at that point, I can look him in the eyes and go, there you are, you bastard.
Would you still want that, but you can't see who he is?
Yeah, yeah, I'll still talk to him, for sure.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. That's a good answer, Jack the Ripper. Now, after doing 3 episodes on the Mormons, would you go see the Book of Mormon show? Yes, I have.
Yeah, 100%. I've seen it. Yeah, and it's one of the musicals I've wanted to see for a long time.
I've seen it a couple times, and I must say it's absolutely fantastic. I'm not really musicals.
Made by guys who do South Park, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's made by the guys
who do South Park.
You
know it's going to be a good time.
It is a good time. I'm not really one for musicals, but this is like one that I've gone back to see and will happily go see again. I think it's fantastic. And the fact that the guys that wrote South Park have kind of got permission from the Mormon Church to write the whole thing. Mm. So they wrote it, went over to them and said, "Look, this is what we want to do. What do you think?" I quite like that the Mormons are in on the joke. They are not the butt of the joke. They are part of the joke. We are laughing along with them. Absolutely fantastic show. Really, really cool. Loved it.
I mean, the South Park episodes on Mormons as well are fucking great.
Yeah. Now, this next question I think is fairly easily done if you just have a little look at our back catalogue. But have you done the Black Dahlia? No, but it is on the list because it's a fascinating case.
When we got this one, I'll hold my hands up, but I didn't know what it was, so I googled it and it looks very interesting.
It's very interesting, and I think it's unsolved still, isn't it? So yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, that's
case.
What I said. Yeah.
Right. What historical figure influenced you the most personally? Now I found this one really tricky.
Yeah, that's a really tricky one.
Now, I, if I'm honest, don't have a particular person, but I was trying to think of like what embodies a bit of me, what's a bit like me, and you know, dictators, kings, all that kind of stuff. Nah, just that's not really me. But I was like, strip it down, like my essence, like what is it? And that's just, I'm inquisitive, like I just want to know everything. And I was like, philosophers, just put one down. And I was like,
yeah,
Diogenes, why not? Because this guy was living at large, as free as a bird.
Yeah,
I quite like that about him.
I think for philosophers as well, Marcus Aurelius. I know his books can be often misconstrued by, especially like Andrew Tate loving people. But I think his works are quite interesting. I've got his book over there actually. I've been reading it, and Seneca's, which I haven't got to yet, but it's really interesting. Stoicism and all that. But I wouldn't say Marcus Aurelius has influenced me that much. I'm trying to think of someone really practical who's literally built the fucking country that I live in. So probably someone like Hadrian or one of the Roman emperors who came and built roads, I guess, has heavily influenced my life because I now live in England where the Romans bought so much stuff to us.
Yeah, you're thinking very literal there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
But character-wise, I genuinely don't think I have one.
No, I don't think I do either, which is why I think philosophers is something it sort of vibes with me a bit more, because I've got a couple of books on like philosophy and philosophy 101 and that kind of stuff, and that's a bit of me. Thank you for that. Are you going to do another episode on Hitler during the war?
Right, when this one came up, I was like, immediately, yes, I am. So I look back, and the last one we did was in August 2020, which was part 4, and I think it ended just at the outbreak of the war. I don't know if it was when he invaded Czechoslovakia or if it was September 1st when he did Poland. But either way, because one person has asked for it, yes, I will. I'll write Adolf Hitler part 5 3 years
now,
later.
My answer to that was, we don't know what we're going to write most of the time. We just say, oh, what have you got? And then we tell each other. So it's not like we plan these out or anything. So I wasn't sure whether you'd want to go down that route. And I was like, it's on like the back burner, sure. But whether we do it or not, I don't know. But I was thinking it would be really cool to get on the show a historian who knows the era a bit better and talk to them about his wartime.
No, yeah, that'd be interesting.
So, you know, that might be something we can look into going forward. Obviously, we've done similar with Terry Wade, talk about Jack the Ripper. It'd be great to get the opportunity to sit with a historian and talk more on, you know, Hitler's war.
No, we'll look into that.
Yeah.
Maybe this is dreaming a little bit, but maybe if we can somehow find the money in the next year, we can tie in with your dream documentary location and go to Berlin and do some shit.
That'd be nice. Let's get Dan Snow on.
Well, I'll message him on TikTok.
Yeah. Do you know what? Let's message Dan Snow and see what we get. Now, I like this one because this is kind of philosophical in a way. Would you rather be shot 100 years in the future or 100 years in the past?
Right, so when this question first came in, I read it very literally, and I thought, well, I don't want to be shot at all.
Yeah.
But then I messaged the person who, and it was, do you want to be transported 100 years into the future or in the past? I have quite a definitive answer on this, and it's future. And I'll tell you for why. Because if you or I get transported 100 years back to 1923, by the when World War II rolls round, we're fucked. So I don't want to be part of that. Like, I have no interest in living through World War II at all. So, 100 years in the future, please.
I might just about skip it, you know.
You might, but your house is still going to get bombed, so...
That is true. That is true. And I live down at Southeast, so I am hot topic, or I'm hot target.
Exactly.
Right now. But yeah, what am I?
We're 100 years in the future, we might all be dead, so... I don't know, but you've got to take your chances, haven't you? Maybe the world got better.
Yeah, we hope.
Greta
Thunberg's, like, granddaughter is like still running around dodging school.
Yeah.
No, I like that question. I'm with you. I think it would be better to go 100 years in the future because although.
But if you was past, if the question was like 500 years, I'd be more inclined to go back.
I think that's fair because whilst the past is fascinating and interesting, they don't have plum toilets, so that would be a problem.
No, they don't. No, or the internet, or like, I can't sit there on TikTok every night.
Yeah, but yeah, no, that's about all the questions. So thank you very much to everyone who sent us questions. Honestly, it really means the world to us. It's just nice to have a different type of question on there, to be honest. If you have more, if you want to know a bit more about us, just send us questions, and what we'll do is we'll collate a load of them, and then we'll do like another Q&A sometime in the new year. But yeah, thank you very much for sending them. Keep sending them in. Now let's do the bit that I find the most fascinating of all. Let's round out the year. Let's talk about the facts, where we talk about what you're listening to, who are you, all that kind of stuff. So let's get on with it, shall we? Where are you listening to us from? Where is everybody from? Now, historically, we have had a very big audience in America, not in the UK. It's always been USA first, UK second. That has swapped over. We are now
nice
big in the UK, which is amazing. So almost half of our listeners are homegrown.
Nice. We love you, UK. Represent.
Rep. Big up the UK. It's one of those where, like, you know, America's got a big podcast market, which is great, but the UK has not. And in the last couple of years, it started to blow up more, which is why you've got every Tom, Dick and Harry. Anyone who has, like, anyone who's been on the telly or is somewhat fucking knowable has a podcast. Yeah. And the fact that we have, you know, fairly consistently been in, like, you know, around the sort of the top 100 in the UK for documentary podcasts, up there with, like, you know, Simon Whistler, History Hit, things like that. Absolutely fucking wild. That's crazy. So
I think as well that because of, I think our style of, we're quite, I'm not going to say funny, I'm not going to suck our own dicks, but like the way we talk to each other, I think is very British. And I think people in America maybe quite find it quite abrasive, perhaps. I don't know. We laugh at things that perhaps shouldn't be laughed at. And I think that's just very British of us. So yeah. I think we appeal to more British audiences. But for those Americans who do not mind us laughing at Fannie Mae Ring and people being killed, you're more than welcome.
There is a dark humour. And I think, to be fair, we've had a couple of reviews on the show. And please do review us because it does help out. It really does. We've had a few reviews and where they're saying the thing that they really like about the show is just how laid back and sort of easygoing it is. And we can be talking about some really hard, heavy hitting stuff, historical things that can be quite hard to digest. And I think the way we talk about it is in a nice, easy way. I think it's just really easy to listen to. So, yeah, thank you very much, everyone. So, yeah, the United Kingdom is our top. United States is second on the list. So, hello, everyone from the US. Number three is Australia. We kind of knew that coming in because we know that the English-speaking market for us is a big one.
Yeah.
Number four, which is interesting, is Belgium.
That's so interesting.
That's so
I've never
interesting.
Been to Belgium.
Which is, I'll tell you what's crazier. In September, we had less than 100 listeners from there, right? We've now got over 600 since September.
The fuck has happened? Hello, so, Belgium.
Hello, Belgium. Who are you? what's going on?
I mean, this is all until we do an episode on, like, Leopold or something, and we just lose those.
That is on the list. I have asked that. It's been put up on there. If you go on the Patreon, you can vote for episodes, and Leopold has appeared on there a couple of times, so it will get on there at some point. And number five is Canada. So hello to all our Canadians. Some notable mentions are Sweden, Denmark, Norway. So my Scandi family are listening. We've got New Zealand and the Netherlands, which is fun. So there you are. That's where everyone's listening to us from. Now, what are you listening to us on? Now, number one, Spotify. Everyone's listening to us on Spotify, basically. Half of all listens are coming from Spotify. So come on, Spotify, sign us up. Do like a Joe Rogan, sign us up for a couple of $1 million and we'll be grand. Number two, Apple Podcasts. Number three, Google Podcasts. Number four, Amazon Music. Who are you?
Who the fuck uses Amazon Music? No, I'm not having a go at you, but that's just me being surprised.
I want names. Who's using Amazon Music?
But Amazon Music comes with Prime, doesn't it? So I imagine most of us have it. Or is it a separate thing? I've never looked into it.
All I know is that we're on it. I've never done anything else to
hello,
it.
Hello, Amazon. That's so bizarre.
It's very bizarre. Right, now let's get to the good stuff, all right? Let's talk about what's your favourite episode. Because traditionally, what is the most favourite listen to episode, James?
The Essex Boys, for some fucking reason that is beyond me.
And we've never understood.
It's not a bad episode. It's not a bad episode. It's just so niche. I don't understand it.
It's very niche, yeah. Right, let's go from 10 up to 1, okay? So coming in at number 10, all right? The Marquis de Sade.
Oh, people like sex.
That's some dirty stuff there.
Yeah. People love the sex.
All right, number 9. You're like this one. Bert Trautmann.
Right, okay, so he's also on TikTok. I did an episode, a little one of him on TikTok, and every now and then it just goes a little bit mad. So I feel like I get into the football cycle every now and then, which, like, this is just me having brainwaves. I've been thinking of, like, starting a little separate TikTok account of, like, the history of football, but maybe not, I don't know. But I feel like there's a market there for historical football.
Mm. Yeah, probably. Let's get in on it. Let's do another podcast.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Number 8, which is an interesting one here, Frederick Douglass.
Oh, nice. Okay. We did that one for Black History Month, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Number 7, Dr. Crippen.
Oh, nice. Bit of a weird episode, but yeah.
That was a fun episode. I really enjoyed that. Sort of got like a... I wanted like an old-timey Scotland Yard feel to the storytelling there. Mm. Number 6, Typhoid Mary.
Again, a really interesting episode, but I don't really understand how people find it. They must just like our stuff.
Yeah.
You don't go on Spotify and type in Typhoid Mary, do you?
Yeah. Oh, I've made a mistake here. So, I said the Marquis de Sade was number 10. The Marquis de Sade is actually number 5. It's just... It made it look weird on my screen. The Marquis de Sade is now 5 because I've got two episodes that are in the same place. So there is the 10th is actually the 9th, if that makes sense. So the Marquis de Sade is in 5th place. Sorry, the Marquis de Sade is 5th place. Now, let's talk top 5. So Marquis de Sade, number 5. Number 4, Gary Glitter.
Okay, that's interesting, but he's a big name, especially in England. So the British listeners like that.
Mm. Yeah, and I must say again, great music. all right, number 3, we have a tie.
Oh.
Number 3, the third most listened to episode for the entire year of 2023 is Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper.
Mm-hmm.
And the Essex Boys.
Fucking Essex Boys. I don't, and every year it's so consistent.
It is consistently good.
If you found us via the Essex Boys episode, can you just message us and let us know how that's happened?
I'm honestly dying to know. I've been asking for the longest time. Please tell me, if you like that episode, what is it about that episode that you found absolutely fascinating? Because everyone seems to be buzzing off of it. And it's like a couple of years old now.
Yeah, and like, I'd never heard of it. I think the only reason you'd heard of it is because you're from the area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, bizarre.
Mm. Now, let's get into the top dogs. Number 2... and number one. So number two, the second most listened to episode of 2023 is The Strange Case of Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Oh no, yeah, that's it to be expected, to be fair. That was that was a big thing. She's been released soon or has been?
I feel like she has. It's not... Or no, it's it's in like January or something.
It's imminent.
It's imminent. Yeah.
It's soon.
Yeah, that's crazy, yeah. We got a little flack for that at one point. People saying that we were like laughing at, you know, neurodivergent people, and that's not the case.
Oh yeah, you went back and listened to the entire episode to make sure everything's fine, and I trust you. I think people just get angry for the sake of being angry.
All right, you ready to hear what is our most favourite listen episode? Favourite?
Can I try and guess?
Yes, go for it.
Was it an episode that recorded this year?
Yes. Well, yeah, because it's the most... Oh, wait, sorry. Yes, it is.
Okay. I don't know why I said I guess, because now I've got to think about what was recorded this year. I probably would have gone Gypsy Rose. It's not going to be any of the Napoleons, because they're really new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shouldn't have guessed. Just tell me. I don't know.
Shamima Begum.
To be fair, that does make sense. Yeah. Again, that one really kicked off. But I think there's a big UK interest in that. I feel like that's our market. We really need to hammer home the UK stories.
Yeah.
But I understand that. It's a really interesting story, and everyone's got an opinion on it as well. And not many people sort of know the background of it all.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's been interesting. I know a few people did message us and gave us their opinion as well when we put it out on socials. And a lot of people were like, no, I get where you're coming from, Ryan, because you were like very anti, and then... I was like quite more a bit more sympathetic, and I think eventually you started to come round to it on another episode. You were like, I think so, yeah. But yeah, no, fascinating. So there you go. There are your most favourite listen to episodes of 2023. So yeah, thank you very much, and hopefully next year we can knock the Essex boys out the top 10.
Maybe if it's there again, I swear to God.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We'll do a documentary on it. If it's there next year, we'll do a full blown documentary.
Yeah.
On the Essex boys.
Yeah, I'd love to. That'd be grand. Right. So, yeah, I think that about wraps up the year, actually. So, thank you very much for listening. Oh, lastly, sorry, I did mention earlier, I would say we started a Patreon this year. If you haven't already, you can check out our video. We did like a 5-minute video just sort of pleading, basically, a Patreon plea, asking for you to support us on Patreon and give you some reasons as to why we'll do that. So we've got some documentaries now on Patreon. We've interviewed some guests and stuff like that. You get the show ad free over on Patreon, which is always a bonus. But more to the point as well, we've got some other things coming up, like Are You Qualified to Say That? It's a show that a separate sideshow that we're working on that will just go on there, and there'll be small little episodes on there. We can talk about things that we're definitely not qualified to talk about on the show. So we've got some bits happening over there. Now, for those that have joined us over on Patreon, it's meant that we have, you know, we can start to make some money. The show can start to support itself even more so, because we can pay off the distributor. But what we want to be able to do is pay off our distributors and then be able to, you know, save a bit more money so we can start doing things like head out to Berlin at some point to do some documentary stuff and really sort of push the boat out. So 2024 is all about trying to really push ourselves and make really cool, interesting content that is worth your time, really, and your hard-earned cash. So if you would like to support us over on Patreon, you can do so. For those that have, I'd like to thank Barbara, Steve, Alexander Petrov, Mike Harris, Dane Welch, Rowan, and Lisa Anderson. Thank you very much for joining us on Patreon. All of your contributions have gone a massively long way in helping us just do stuff. And without you, it's really hard to do that. So thank you very much. And like I say, if you'd like to head over there and join us, there is always a link.
Yeah, I think that's our New Year's resolution, isn't it? Just do more in general. I'd like to get out and film more. There is some stuff sort of loosely being planned, but it needs to get some stuff nailed down. Obviously, there's Ryan's Auschwitz little... is it a little doc? A little footage of Auschwitz coming up.
Yeah.
I've got my Italian stuff, which is just the bane of my life at the minute, but it will come soon. And then we do want to do more documentaries. I wanted to start writing more stuff as well. I think the goal has always been with this to turn it into a full-time job, because it's so difficult to do a 9-to-5 and then put like do a 5-to-9 on TWPD. It is tricky. And so like I speak for both of us when I say we both go through periods of complete lack of motivation.
Oh god,
so
yeah.
It's kind of mad that we've like got to fifth birthday next year, fucking hell. But it always like makes it worth it when we're out and about in the pouring rain filming. Like that's the fun part. It doesn't feel fun at the time, but looking back, it's always the fun part.
Yeah,
love to do more of that.
When you see it all put together as well, you go, do you know what? That was really good. I really enjoyed that. And you know, being able to put it out to you guys, and you know, having you guys rate, review, send us comments, you know, tell us that you liked it, you know, all of that stuff just massively like inspires us and pushes us to carry on. So here's to 2024. Yeah, thank you very much for joining us for another fantastic year. It's been absolutely brilliant, and thank you once again for joining us. And bring on 2024.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. Have a good one.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.